We are in this series, Wisdom for Dummies, and throughout the entire summer, we're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs. And it's one of those great books of the Bible that we get to learn a little bit more of kind of what God has for us and what it means to be a wise person. And for me, it's something that I can always glean from. Now, if you know anything about our student ministry and about the way I do things, I don't like to do things the same kind of 2 weeks in a row. And I really want to help all of us experience God in different ways, and we all learn at different levels. Some of us are auditory learners, and so someone standing up here and speaking is great. But not all of us are, including myself. And so I've brought a friend of mine up here. Her name is Stephanie Miller, and she is actually going to paint an abstract of kind of what she has been learning as we've studied this passage together. And so she's going to be painting kind of what I'm preaching. And so if that really connects with your heart, then I encourage you just to watch her the whole time and grab a few tidbits here and there of what I say. If that doesn't connect with you and it's a distraction, then don't look over there. I understand for some of you who think very concrete that doesn't work. Then great, then just pretend she's not there. But it's just a way that we can worship God differently, that we can worship God in many ways through singing, through the teaching of word, through painting, through writing. And this is just another opportunity that we have together to kind of worship God and learn in a different way. And so she's going to be doing that. If you would, let's go right into God's word. And we're going to be teaching out of Proverbs 4 this morning. This is one of my favorite passages. It made God's word come alive to me when I first read and studied this passage. And so I was really excited when Tom put the schedule out there and I had an opportunity to open this one with you. I've entitled this message Anatomy for Dummies. You know, we're talking wisdom for dummies. And so this is Anatomy for Dummies. And some of you might be thinking, am I coming to biology class? And I'm saying, no, you're coming to spiritual biology class this morning. So we're going to kind of look at how the writer of this text uses the body parts to explain the truth about God's word. And so Proverbs 4, and we're going to start in 20. So Proverbs 4, 20 says this: "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a whole man's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Now, one of the things that I try to help students understand when we study Scripture, the most important thing that we need to understand is context, context, context. We need to understand what the author's original intent was and what was going out. And so there's a couple of different things when we look at God's word of the context that we need to understand. The first one is pretty obvious. It's the historical context, kind of what's happening, who's writing it. Are there things that are going on in that time period, in that era, that would give us clues to understanding the text? Were there symbolisms or objects that were used in parables that we can identify with the historical context, the time and date? And so that's one we understand pretty well as we study, but it's something we need to keep at the forefront. And like in this case, we know that the book of Proverbs was written by a few different authors on wise sayings, and they were kind of put together. So in this proverb, it's King Solomon again. So King Solomon is kind of writing this full discourse, kind of 1 through 7, and it's giving words of wisdom, and you'll see it addressed over and over. My son, hey, these are your father's instructions. Hey, pay attention to what I say. My son, over and over again, you see my son in this. So that's kind of our historical context. What's happening is Solomon is giving the student, his son, the mentoree instruction. Then we also have like the literary context, meaning what is happening around the different passages that we're talking about. So what's going on in the other text? A great one that I love to use with students is Philippians 4:13. Many of us have seen this verse all the time. It says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." And so we see that all the time on Sundays, on the little football players, little towels, you know, Philippians 4:13. And I can score touchdowns because Jesus gave me strength. No, that's not what it's saying, right? The context of that passage is if I'm poor, if I'm naked, if I'm beaten, if things aren't going my way, if times are hard, I can continue to be content because Christ gives me strength. And so a lot of times we just take passages, we like them, and it makes us feel good inside, and so we say, oh, I'm going to, but it's bigger than that. It means more than that. So in that sense, it's because of what Christ has done, and no matter what hardships come my way, if I have a lot or I don't have, then I can continue because God gives me strength. The third kind of context area is the genre of literature. And this really plays a part in the text that we're studying this morning. And there's different genres. There's like historical narrative. And so you would study that one way. There's like Paul's letters. And so he writes a letter to sometimes a person, sometimes a church. That's another way we'd study God's scripture. Then there's prophetic writing. And so we're looking at it because it's foretelling and forthtelling types of writing. And so we need to understand it through there. When we get to Proverbs, it's considered prophetic writing. And so it's poetry. And we read poetry and study poetry completely different than we would study a letter. And so that's the context here. And I got to teach this with high schoolers a few months ago, I guess. And so here's a picture of our diagram. It's a little hard to see of this text. And it's a great thing to study because the author shows you what he's trying to have you understand as you study this text. So if you go back, and we're going to study it out of literature. So thinking it's a poem. And if you look, I'll just tell you this. In Hebrew poetry, one of the things they did was parallelism. And so if you notice, it says, hey, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. It's parallelism. It's saying the same thing twice. The next line says, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them from within your heart. So it's another repetitive thing. The third line says, for they are life to those who find them and health to a whole man's body. He's saying the same thing in essence. And then 23 says, and above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And if you've kind of seen the parallelism, something should jump in you and says, that feels uncomfortable because it's not saying the same thing twice. Then it goes on with 24, 25, 26, and 27, and it's that same parallelism that's happening. And so as we study this stanza of Scripture, everything points to this center thing. Verse 23 is above all else, guard your heart. There's some other things that are happening as well in the text that are pointing to that. So you can pull that off so they're not too distracted anymore. So it starts out. And we're just kind of starting, it's like, listen, pay attention. And if you see also in verse 4, or chapter 4, 4:1, 4:10, 4:20, all has this kind of same introduction. The importance of listening to what I have to say. The importance of listening to this instruction that's about to be given. So he's getting the attention. He doesn't want you to miss this because he thinks this is really important for you to hear. And I agree, this is really good stuff. This week, it's been working me over. It's really hard to stand up here in front of you and to give this message because it's ruined me inside a little bit this week. And so I'll just preface that this morning. So he's saying, hey, listen, pay attention to what I'm going to say. Hey, keep them within your heart. Don't let them out of your sight. These are so good. And that reminds me of like in Psalm 119, right? Hide the word of God in your heart so you will not sin against me. That's an important thing to do when we get wisdom from God, when God's truth is spoken to our life, is that we would hide God's word in our heart. Not just because like the psalmist wrote it, because Jesus lived it. Right? We think about the story of Christ and we see him in Matthew 4 and he's that great temptation scene with Satan. Because that's the truth. Satan just wants to destroy us. That's his goal. And so Satan comes to Jesus and he says, he has three different temptations, right? And after each temptation, Jesus always responds with the word of God. He took God's word. He took the wisdom. He hid it in his heart. And so when tough times hit, Jesus was able to respond with truth, with God's truth, with the written word. And so for us, we want to listen to what's being said and we want to keep them within our heart because we're going to need them at different times. And if we do, they're health to a whole man's body, right? They give us hope. They give us a way to live life. They give us comfort. I mean, it's this great thing that we have with God's word is when we really understand it, when we really live by it, we live in a totally different way. We live in a radical way that's completely different. I like to say that it's kind of freedom. And here's what I mean. When we really understand and we put God's word in our heart is when great pain happens, when times of suffering, when there's times of loneliness, when we feel depressed, when we're struggling to know if God is really there or if God's not, that we understand when temptation comes, we have God's word and it begins to give us a new sense of freedom that we didn't have. When we live by God's ways and God's commands, we can live free. I mean, that's what I see when I, in my own life, when I go against God's, I feel like I'm in bondage. But when I really obey his commands and I live out what he's asked me to do, there's the freedom. There's this guilt-free living. There's this stress-free. There's this sense of I'm going to be okay because I'm under the will of God. And so when it reads, it's life. It's health. Like, those words penetrate my heart. Like, they make me, I finally understand when I take God's word, when I hide it in my heart, it allows me to live differently. So that's kind of the setup. He kind of sets up, he's like, come on, I want you to get excited. I want you to get focused on, because here's what I really want you to hear this morning. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear these words. It's guard your heart. Guard your heart. I was kind of looking up what it actually meant to guard your heart. And here's kind of what Webster said, so that we kind of have a good understanding. It says to keep safe from harm or danger, to protect, to watch over, to keep under close watch in order to prevent misconduct, to keep under control or restraint as a matter of caution or prudence, and to provide or equip with some safeguard to prevent loss. I mean, it's this whole idea of guarding that we need to watch out for. Now, in my house, one of the things that we really enjoy doing, it's kind of a special treat, is sword fighting. Now, I know that you think this is silly, but myself and my three kids all carry or have our own swords. Now, they only can come out at special times. Now, what I've understood so far about sword fighting with my little ones is my two girls are insane with these things. Like, they go nuts. They whack as hard as they can. Emma, my oldest, hit me so hard she broke a blood vessel in my hand, and my whole hand swelled up in minutes. Like, it just poofed out. Now, the thing is they're 4 and 6, and so they don't have a lot of self-control at times. And I also have a 22-month-year-old. He's not as good with the sword yet, but we're working. And so, like, they fight, and they want to get him, and they hit him. But what I've found out, that it's my job to protect him. So the girls are having fun, and they think this is a great time, but I'm really, in essence, making sure that he doesn't take one across the face, because he has a few times. But that's what I'm doing when we're sword fighting. They're coming crazy to get, and I'm just trying to prevent every shot they take from hitting him. And I have to take a few, just stick my body out today. And it's to guard, to protect, to make sure nothing harmful happens. This is what we need to do with our hearts. We want to make sure that nothing harmful happens to them. A few years ago, we were on the Ironman trip, and my dad had a heart attack, had a mild heart attack on this trip. And my dad's a very healthy, fit man. He's pretty old. He's 80 right now. He's probably 75 when this incident happened. And he really hadn't had any health problems at this time, so it was kind of unexpected. And so he ate really well, too, at least we thought. And then he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, okay, there's certain things that you need to cut out of your diet to protect your heart. There's things that you need to protect your heart. And so my dad used to have a peanut butter jelly piece of toast every morning. Like, the doctor said, no more peanut butter for you, because that wasn't going to help his heart. And then he also liked to have a bowl of ice cream before he went to bed at night. The doctor also said, you may not have any more ice cream. I mean, those were things that he had to do to protect his heart. That's what we need to do. We need to protect our hearts. And I guess I was kind of asking, what do we need to protect our hearts from? And I'd say this, everything. And why? Is because we have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to keep us being ineffective and unproductive in our faith. Right? We are up against the father of lies, the great deceiver. I mean, every day we go to battle, whether we want to or not, because the enemy wants to destroy everything that we have. Satan wants to capture everything that was good for God and take it away so that we would be ineffective and unproductive in our faith. And so we need to be on guard because our heart is where we live our life. Jesus kind of says this over and over as you study his life and his ministry. In like Matthew 15, Jesus says this. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But there are things that come out of the mouth, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these things make a man unclean. For out of the heart, evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, these are the things that make a man unclean. But eating, so these are the things that make us unclean, is the things that kind of come out of our hearts. So I came up with kind of three things that God kind of put on my heart, and there's more than this, of things that we need to guard against in our hearts. I know there's more, and we can go on and on about all the things that are coming away, but three things God kind of put on my heart that I want to put out there for you to maybe think about. The first one is this, is that we need to guard against idolatry. We need to guard against idolatry. And what I kind of define this as is when you go to bed, when you fall asleep, what are you consumed by? What are the things that are entering into your heart? What are you thinking about all the time? Is it the things that you have? You know, Matt, Jesus says, you know what? Where your treasure is your heart will be also. So are you thinking about material things? Is that consuming you? What you get, what you have, where you go on vacation, the things that you're able to own and possess. Are these the things that have captured your heart? Do you meditate on this? Or maybe it's other things. Maybe your heart is focusing on your achievements, your successes, the way people perceive you. Maybe it's your reputation that has your heart captured. Maybe it's silly things like sports, maybe, that you fall asleep going to bed thinking, if the team I root for only did this, it would be better. I found myself, here's a true statement, on earlier this week, I don't like soccer, really. I know that's hard for some people to hear, but I don't really enjoy watching soccer or following it. But I found myself watching the World Cup. And I got up and I saw the United States go down 2-0. And I was just angry in my heart. And I don't know why, because I just was like frustrated. I turned it off. I didn't want to watch it anymore because it just was irritating me. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. And it's because we allow these things to seep into our hearts and they control us. And then it gets more like serious for me, like the Colorado Buffalo football, you know, like that can consume me like no other. And it creeps into my heart and I can be thinking if they would do this and they would do this. And I have no affiliation other than I'm a fan. And we allow these things into our heart and they become idols and they take us away from God. So many different things. And the enemy loves it when that happens. He gets excited when that happens because you're no longer focusing on God. You're focusing on things that will turn to rust and decay. So idolatry is one of the things that I need to guard against. Another one that God laid in my heart was spiritual pride. Spiritual pride, meaning that like I have things figured out. I'm walking well with God. I know God's word and I'm kind of understanding. And Jesus went after people like that, right? I don't know if you remember like Matthew 23, you know, he's talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And he kind of gives these seven woe statements. I mean, if you were there, I think you would be a little bit nervous. I feel like Jesus's voice would have went up a couple octaves at this point, and you would have kind of heard this. It says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. This is Matthew 23, starting in 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then on the outside will also be clean. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrite! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." I read texts like that, and I begin to examine my own life, and I say, "Oh, am I missing the mark at times? Am I being a professional Christian or a pretend Christian and doing all the things on the outside, but there's no change on the inside? The things that we do and the way we live is because of what God's done in our lives, and it changes in the inside. And so we live from the inside out. And so I think we need to be on guard of this like spiritual hypocrisy that comes, the spiritual pride that we deal with is, I have everything figured out. I'm good. I don't need to continue to wrestle with those things. No, we need to be on guard for spiritual pride. And the last one I would say is that we need to be on guard from bad fruit. Luke 6:43. A lot of you have heard this one, but this is one of those passages that needs repeating. It says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings up good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we need to stop putting bad fruit in us. We need to be weary against the bad things that are coming. And it's all over the place. I spent most of this last week with a bunch of middle school students at camp. And when I was studying this passage and watching them, I understood why they act the way they do a lot of the time. It's because as I watch their lives, they're putting so much garbage in their life. What they're pouring out is that same garbage. And the way they treat each other, unfortunately, sometimes is because of what they've been putting in. I just watched it in this one situation. It wasn't with our students, with another group that was staying by us. And they just kept beating down this one kid. It just was so hard to watch. And it just was the overflow of what they had been putting in their minds. And it's interesting. I talk to students and I listen to the shows they're watching and the music they're listening to and the friends they're hanging out with. And it's no wonder that's what comes out of their life. It's no wonder what comes out of my life at times. I was really convicted about some of the things that I watch on TV. And just thinking, I'm allowing that to come in my heart. And I know why it does the things that I live the way that I do. And I know the reason why my mind goes the way where it goes. It's because of the things I'm putting in my mind. I remember a few years ago, there was this show that was like Desperate Housewives. And we used to kind of watch it a little bit. And I just found myself going, I kind of think this should actually happen in my life, the way these things live, the sexual exploits that were going on. I was like, why isn't this happening in my life? You know, that this happened. And it's because I was allowing this garbage to come in my life. It became a reality that isn't true. And it's all over the place. And we have to fight. And the enemy loves it. He loves it. They can draw us into things that are keeping us from being ineffective and unproductive, right? Because out of the overflow is how we live. It says, guard your heart above all else, above everything else, guard your heart because it is the wellspring of life. This is where we live our life, is out of what God is, what's going on in our heart. And just remember, that enemy wants as much junk and garbage to go in your heart because that's how you're going to live. So be on guard of idolatry. Be on guard of spiritual pride. Be on guard of the bad fruit that you're putting in. Now, the way this text finished is what I would say is kind of directions or ways that we're supposed to live. I get a little bit nervous because when I read these things, it becomes this jump to behavior modification really quick. And I don't want to be about behavior modification. I want the way we live our lives is because of what Christ has done for us, Right? That's one of the things we got to keep in focus as we say, okay, look at the story of God. Look at who I am in my own sin. And when I understand what Jesus did on the cross and the love that he has for me, it allows me to live differently. And it makes me understand why I live the way that I do. It's out of my love for God. It's because of my heart is so connected with God that I live differently. Sometimes I explain it to students this way. I try to get to understand why they live the way they live certain times. And I put these three options out to them. And I ask them these questions. I say, now, the reason you live out your spiritual life, is it because of fear? Like you're afraid that you're going to be smited? Are you afraid that you're going to be, you know, found out that you did wrong? Are you afraid of the consequences? I ask them, are you afraid or is it out of obligation? You know, do you do these certain things because you know you're obligated to? You read your Bible because you're supposed to do it. You don't have sex because you know you're supposed to do it or not do that. Is that why you live your life? Is it out of fear, obligation, or is it because you really love God? Because you've really met your Savior and encountered him in a real way and you have this love for him in a great way. Then I'll explain it like this. Imagine that I come home with a bouquet of flowers for my wife. It's Valentine's Day, and I've got her these beautiful flowers, and I give them to her, and I say, I want you to have these because I was afraid if I didn't give them to you, you would be angry with me. Or I come to her, and I say, here's a bunch of flowers is because I know this is what I'm supposed to do, and I got them really cheap. You know, here you go. How does she respond? It's not received well, right? She could probably say thanks, and they don't mean anything. But if I am able to bring her flowers and say, I love you, and I just want you to know that I love you, and there's no reason other than I just want you to know that I love you, she receives them very differently. I think same with our spiritual life, is when we understand what Christ has done for us and our hearts are going right, and we love him so much, it's the reason why I act the way I do is because I love you. Not because this is behavior modification, it's because I love you. And so here's how I've kind of worded this. Here are three indicators if your heart is doing well. So here are three ways that you can tell if you have done a good job guarding your heart. And it's here in 24, 25, and 26, 27. Back in the book of Proverbs 4. It says this, I think, let me turn there. Keep perverse. Well, I'll just wait, and you guys can flip back to Proverbs 4 too. Okay, here we go. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. So one of these anatomy things, we've talked about the heart, it's also the mouth, right? The mouth is an important thing. So you can understand if you are doing well of guarding your heart, if these things are being kept away, if you put a perversity away from your mouth, if you keep corrupt talk away from your lips, this would be a great indicator on how you're doing in your spiritual life, on how you're guarding your heart. And I know for me that this one is tough. It's easy to be quick and smart and kind of poke fun at people, right? Like it's easy to go after things in people's life. It's easy to gossip. It's easy to slander. It's easy to draw the attention to others so that you make yourself feel better. The book of Ephesians, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians 4, this great little word of encouragement, a great nugget says this, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Students know this verse with me by the top 10 things, that your words should be truthful, encouraging, and necessary, right? 10, your words should be truthful, encouraging, and necessary. Those are the type of words we want to use with others. And so we can understand if we're doing a good job of guarding our heart, if these are the words that are coming out, if our words are truthful in the way we interact, they're encouraging, they're building someone up, they're necessary in our it's not my first language, sorry. In our correction and rebuking other people. Like, that's what our words should be. They should be truthful, encouraging, and necessary. That's the first thing, is our mouth is a really good indicator of how we're doing in guarding our heart. The second one I would say is our mind. Look again at 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Solomon is referring to kind of your mind or your thoughts or the things that you're coveting and wanting. What are the things that you are really focusing on? What are the things that your eyes are bringing into your mind? What are the things that you are meditating on? What are the things that you are fixating your mind on? Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Like, these are the things that we should be thinking about in our mind. And if there's different things that our mind is going to, then those are the things that we need to get rid of. Those are the things we need to push away. Those are the things we need to walk away from. And it's different for all of us, but there are things that easily capture our mind, and we easily drift away from the Lord in those ways. And then the final thing is, so we have our mouth, we have our eyes, and then we have our feet. It says, make level paths for your feet, and take only the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. And this is referring to our actions. When in Proverbs, when it talks about feet, this would be one of those context things we can understand that these are our actions that we live by. And so if there's things that we're doing that are not honoring God, we need to stop doing them. Those are great indicators if we're stealing, or if we're maybe it's lusting. I mean, whatever those actions are, then these are the things that we need, are indicators that we're not guarding our heart well. So as we kind of think about and close up this thing as a church, like, how amazing would it be if this is how we live? If we really took this passage to heart, if we really understood that I need to guard my heart because the enemy really wants to attack me, and all of us, all 150, 200 of us really began to live out this idea of I need to guard my heart. Imagine walking into a church that people always used encouraging words with one another. That there was no gossip or slander that was going on. The things that people were saying were bringing others people up. They were encouraging others to walk in the ways of the Lord. Just imagine what that community would look like. Or imagine if we really understood that our minds should be focused on the things of the Lord, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is righteous. I mean, how different would we be? Or if the way we lived actually matched up the things that we said. That's one of the things that turns people away from Christianity is hypocrisy in the church. And it happens because we're sinful, broken people. But if these are the things we're striving for because we're guarding our heart and it's the wellspring of life, imagine what a church like that would be like. Imagine how exciting it would become to be to come and worship the Lord on a regular basis. It's because we'd be living like Christ because we'd been doing a great job in guarding our hearts. One of those great passages of Scripture. I pray that the things that were said would just penetrate your hearts and that we would live like this as a community. Pray with me as we really seek the Lord and ask Him to have this penetrate our hearts. God, your word is powerful and it's convicting as well, Lord. And I confess that I don't always live up to your standards or to your ways, and I do a poor job at times of guarding my heart. But God, I thank you that you gave us clarity and direction and even wisdom on how we can go about living a life that is worthy of you, Lord. And so this morning, Father, I just pray for my friends here that your word would grab hold of our hearts, that you would do amazing work in us, and that you would be glorified because we are living for you. And so God, I pray for the struggles that we all have and the difficulty that we are all going through, that you would help us understand what it means to guard our heart. And for each individual out there this morning, I pray that you would teach each one of us, show each one of us the ways that we need to be guarding our hearts so that we can live like you. Love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.